As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back into Sports Talk as we get into our Bet 365 triple option feature. Guys, I'll lead it off wishing a happy birthday. We've been talking offensive linemen with Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead retiring. Well, the guy that's in the Hall of Fame, nasty Willie Roof, turns 55 years old today. It was a great New Orleans Saint that had him to 11 Pro Bowls, also a Hall of Famer. I also played for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. And I don't know, hoping that the Saints leads into my, you know, kind of talking about the NFL draft here as well. My hopes and wishes for this ninth overall selection for the Saints is to try and find some more pieces for the trenches, whether it's on the offensive or defensive line. The offensive line, you mentioned last segment, Jeff, about the fact that, you know, Northern Iowa kid.
Trevor Penning.
Thank you.
Wow.
It was on my tongue. I couldn't get it out. If Trevor Penning, it is his last season, and he ends up moving on to somewhere else, and they don't decide to invest with him, that's going to be a position of need definitely for this team. So why not pick up that, you know, tackle for the future, whether you want to keep Fuaga where he is now or move him back to the other side. But I just think shoring up the offensive line is still a major priority for this Saints squad.
Yeah, and I'll just build off that with mine here. And so you mentioned Ryan Ramczyk. Ryan Ramczyk's going to be on the stage reading out the Saints pick at number 40. So, hey, maybe Ryan Ramczyk can read off the name of the next great Saints offensive lineman. Who knows? I think a guard would be a great pick at number 40. Obviously, Ryan was a tackle, but, you know, they do a lot of the same stuff, right? But no, so just kind of bridging off that, May 2nd is the deadline for NFL teams to decide whether to pick up the fifth-year option on players that were in the first round of the 2021 draft. Is that right? 2021, was that Trevor Penning and Chris Olave? I lose track. But either way, so Trevor Penning and Chris Olave are going to have to make decisions on both of those guys. That fifth-year option, I think the thing with that option is people lose track of, it's not just like, oh, another year on that contract. It's another year with a pretty significant
bump
raise from a rookie scale contract. So you're giving that guy a lot of money for that 1 year. And in most cases, it's going to be a lot more efficient, a lot more, a better deal for the team to agree to an extension rather than pick up that fifth year option. And for Trevor Penning specifically, I see his situation similar to Cesar Ruiz's situation. And I remember that year, the Saints didn't pick up his option. Everyone's like, oh, man, they're moving on from Cesar Ruiz. And it's like,
not so fast.
No, I think that's more likely they were going to extend him. And that's what they did. Trevor Penning's an interesting case because I think how he comes into camp and performs is going to be a big part of that. And he's going to have to convince this coaching staff that they want to keep him around and develop him. I think there's a 0% chance they pick up that option and pay him $16 million for next year. But I do think there's a decent chance that they come to terms on a reasonable contract where you could probably still move on from him after a year if you needed to, and you would still be on the hook for less. Say maybe like a 3-year, $21 million contract, something in that range, with about half of it guaranteed. You're still moving on with less of a burden than that 1-year option. So just keep that in mind. Chris Olave, I think they will pick up his fifth-year option. And the reason is if he was healthy, if health was not a factor for him, $16 million, which was wide receiver and offensive line is around the same for that fifth-year option, that's about what you would be expecting to pay him on that next contract. So it's not really an overpay in that way, and it will give you one more year to figure out whether he is viable at the NFL level. Because right now, I need to see him get through a season without a concussion. That would be priority number one. And I don't mind paying him another $16 million for that fifth year. And if it doesn't work out, then you can kind of cut your losses and move on. But May 2nd is when the deadline for when they have to make those decisions, and it's going to be after the NFL draft.
Positive, Chris Olave, at least, you know, we see little clips of the Saints having those work at the facility, and he's been one of the guys you've seen as present right now.
Yeah, looks like he's having a great time. Great beard.
I'm just glad to see him actually in football action.
No question. And that's the thing. We haven't seen him back on the field. Like, until he gets on the field and gets hit for the first time, like, I'm waiting for it, right?
Charlie, what you got for us today?
Guys, I'm going with Mark Spears' report today. You talked a little bit earlier about the play-in tournament. Now it's wrapping up tonight. Mark Spears, who's come on this program before a couple times, put out an article talking about Dyson Daniels and how he's a candidate to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved Player this season with Atlanta. And Mark entails, why didn't the Daniels play like that with the Pelicans, right? The former eighth overall pick. And he asks the question, you know, what happened? What made you kind of make this turnaround? Career highs in games played, games started, minutes, which is the most significant aspect here, I think. Just the increased opportunity, because I think he was always a good defender with the Pelicans. And look, I'm not going to act like I've seen a lot of Atlanta Hawks games this year. I haven't. I watched their play-in matchup against Orlando, and he looks like the same player offensively to me. So maybe that boost is just a little bit because of the increased minutes. Granted, he averaged 3 steals per game this season, which is obviously incredible. The nickname The Great Barrier Thief is also pretty awesome.
That is good.
Now, with Dyson Daniels specifically, I read a little bit of the article. It's a good one, so anyone that wants to go check it out, it's on Anscape. He mentions Dyson himself, that the reason he's made this boost and that he wasn't that same player, quote-unquote, is because of himself. It's nothing having to do with the Pelicans or, you know, the opportunity with Herb Jones in front of him and everything like that, even though he did get that incredible boost as far as games played and games started this year in Atlanta. But he's obviously made the most of his opportunity there.
Yeah, so Dyson Daniels led the NBA in steals this year. He had 229 steals. It's the most steals in the NBA in a quarter century. You have to go back to 1999. Gary Payton had 230 steals. We're talking about Gary Payton. So that's 229 steals. That's crazy.
And listen, once again, I don't think his offensive game has developed that much, but he also mentions in the article that whereas other players work on their offense, he works on his defense. So, you know, listen, the Pelicans still have Herb Jones, who is an all-world defender on their roster. Obviously, he was injured basically the entire season, but, you know, with Dyson Daniels, he's getting increased minutes than he was in New Orleans, and he's kind of running with it.
What's frustrating is that trade, you know, the returns for the Pelicans. We thought so many great things were going to happen with DeJounte Murray, and unfortunately, well, the same story with the Saints this year with the Pelicans.
No, the
injuries just really decimated the entire team, but especially, you know, DeJounte Murray from the jump was in bad standings.
Yeah, from day one or game one, breaks his hand. Season ends with a torn Achilles. That's not good.
Then even had some personal, you know, issues off the court with his mom dealing with health issues.
Yeah, it was just a rough season
all around. So hoping the DeJounte can return, because I'm still very high on him with the Pels and hoping to see that.
He's a good player. I don't think he was the problem. His absence was the problem.
And so many Pelicans there were absent.
Right.
That was our triple option feature. Taking a break. We'll be back on more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this. Back here on Sports Talk, getting ready for 5:30. Pre-game coverage, LSU baseball taking on Alabama, 6 o'clock first pitch. Want to get right into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. James, you've been hanging on. Want to talk NFL draft. What'll be cranking up next week? What you got today, James? Happy Good Friday.
Yeah, likewise to you, bro. Both of you. So hopefully in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about who is Tanner McVee. I'm thinking you already know who he is. He's the backup quarterback over at for the Eagles, 6'6", 231 pounds, runs a 4.7 from Stanford. He's 24 years of age right now, I think. And
you mean Tanner McKee?
The feeling is as if if Moore doesn't get the guy that he wants, he can go to Philly and get the guy that was a six-round pick for maybe a third-day pick, fifth, maybe. You know how he is. He might want a third. But my point is that that's in the offing. The other opportunity would be perhaps something I don't think either one of us would like, and that would be to go to Tennessee and get their backup quarterback, Will Levis. Although I did see Will Levis beat Atlanta in his opening regular season game, and I love that. But they're asking for a fourth rounder. So I don't see Shador coming here, and it's nothing like I got anything against Shador, but I can see Deion. If I was the head coach, I wouldn't want Deion on my back. That's just me. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy. He seemed like a decent guy, but I don't think he has the mouth to deal with the publicity that Deion's going to want. Because I actually see Deion wanting the Cowboys job, and I could see that happen. I could see him going to Dallas at 12 if they don't pick up Gentry. But anyway, that's my thoughts. Who do you want it for pick number 9?
Yeah.
If they go through with the Chandler McVie deal, the best offensive lineman, because the kid needs somebody to block for him. I don't really like Will Campbell. I like the guy that Charlie brought up. Yeah, I prefer him. He's far more athletic. But neither one of them are left tackles, but I could see him playing left tackle. The other option would be get somebody in the secondary, but hopefully not Will Johnson. He runs too slow, even though we're going to be playing a lot more zone. And the only other guy, I think maybe Mason Graham, the defensive tackle, may fall.
We'll see if he's around.
But he's got short arms too. but either way, the guy that I really love, I think Mike shot me down. I kind of thought that was nonsensical for him to tell me that.
Who's your
James
pick?
Pierce, what, I like James Pierce, the kid, 6'5", runs a 4.7 at linebacker, and he'd be the perfect 3-4 guy. They say he's got issues, but if you want to Google the guy from San Francisco, just Google his history before San Francisco picked him up. The NFL has they pick and choose who they want to cover up. He can't be any worse than him.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, James.
No, I mean, Tanner McKee's interesting. I don't think he's a guy you're trading for to start, even if you're going to get him. And I understand why you're looking at Tanner
McKee. Making the connection, right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kellen Moore coached him last year. I mean, that's a pretty low-level move. We'll see. Yeah, I guess the question is, how committed is this team to Spencer Rattler? And what does Kellen Moore think?
Think of Spencer Rattler, right?
We really don't know. And it's going
to
be...
Shoot, we don't even know what he thinks of Jake Haener either. I know everyone seems to have drawn conclusions that the next in line would be Rattler.
I mean, it would just make sense. But we'll find out. And yeah, I mean, I don't think you're making a decision on Shador Sanders based on, I don't want to deal with the drama Deion might bring. So it's got to be, okay, do you have a good grade on him or not?
Right.
Like, that's what it comes down to. And I just don't think that they have a great high grade on them.
Real quick, as we head out of here, gentlemen, your favorite Easter candy? I'm going with Heavenly Hash from Elmer's.
See, I'm not a sugar guy. I'm a chocolate guy. So I'm just a Cadbury egg dude, man.
Okay, Charlie, what you got?
Starburst jelly beans.
Jets. Oh, yeah, okay. All right,
elite.
Hope you have a good Friday, everybody, and a great Easter. We'll be back on Monday with more draft talk here on WWL. Enjoy LSU baseball game 2 against Bama coming up right now. Who dat?